Well, let's think together for a while about the new year and about time, thinking of God's view of time. 1,000 years is like a day is as 1,000 years to Him. And maybe we didn't share it this morning, but we're all thinking about reviewing, reflecting last year, thinking about new year with certain anticipations and expectations and even making forecasts. So I would like just to visit with you this morning about that. And let's say we're in the living room together and you would say, Bill, I'm thinking about next year. What would help me in 1987? What would be some good things to know and focus in on and give attention to face the trials that are going to come, the conflicts, the sin, the failure, the depression, the fear, the grief, the brokenheartedness of life, broken health, financial difficulty, death in the family, tragedies, to grow in grace? What would help me with those things? Well, I have some convictions about that. I'd like to share with you this morning 4 things that there is a need for in all of our lives, not only for next year, but for all the time. And I thought that on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year, this would be a good time to share it. What is needed? First of all, there's a need for an accurate belief about God. That's the first conviction. We all need for the new year and for our life an accurate belief about God. Now, I don't know of any subject where about which there is so much confusion today, not just in the world of unbelievers, but in the body of Christ and among Christians. I find there's great confusion and terrible error being taught by Christian leaders that do not give God the glory and the honor that He deserves. To refresh ourselves in the kind of God we have in worship, let's turn to Isaiah 40 and just read a portion of the way God has revealed Himself in Isaiah 40. What kind of God is He? And it's important that we have an accurate view of Him. Let's begin at verse 25, Isaiah 40, 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one is missing. Now why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I have encouraged you before to read through Isaiah chapters 40 through 55. Just to catch some glimpse of the greatness and the majesty and the glory of our God, the everlasting Creator, so that we can have an accurate belief about Him. Be a terrible thing to grow through life living in error about God and who He is, about His power and His ability. And that isn't being made known today. Throughout Christendom, we hear a lot about what God can do and can't do. In fact, I just got a periodical this past week with a couple of things about this, and just one of the articles, it says that God can and will forgive selfish acts, but God cannot forgive selfishness while one persists in wanting his own way. Now the words that strike me there is that God can't. Never, never put yourself in that position of saying, God can't. What a shame and what a disgrace to think of Him that way. Now then, the article goes on to say, the Holy Spirit is our guide, our teacher, our molder of character. If we remain trustful and yielded, the Holy Spirit will be able to perform His wonderful work. Now, the words that catch me there, will be able according to what I do. So God is dependent to do any work according to what I do. That is a shame and a disgrace. God does whatever He wants all the time, independent of the responses and the reactions of people. Never say God can't do this or that He can only do His work in us when we let Him. And then you hear words like this all the time, let God, the bumper sticker, give Jesus a chance. Well, that is not the God of the Bible. We come to the God of the Bible and honor Him as being the eternal, majestic, glorious, splendid Lord God Almighty. And simply say, Lord, I am stubborn and rebellious and resistant. Do Your work in me. And don't wait for me to get better or gooder, because I'm not going to do it on my own. If I'm going to believe and trust in You and grow in grace, You will have to work in me in spite of my resistance and failure. And you see, with a God like this, I can trust Him to do that. I can trust You through trials. I can trust You through depression. I can trust You with my health. I can trust You with my finances. I can trust You with my business and my job and my marriage and my family. And I will glorify You, Lord, this morning by trusting You. You can't trust in a God if you believe He is limited and can't do something until you do it. So I submit to you, well, I do more than submit. I say strongly that you and I must have an accurate belief about God for the coming year. Now, it must go beyond knowledge. You notice that I use the word belief, and I did that on purpose. Not just a mere knowledge of reading Isaiah 40, but really believing that this is who He is. And let this truth get into the life so that when difficult times come, we can trust Him. The God who is the determiner of everything, the God who is my Savior, we must have an accurate belief about God. A second thing is that we must have a strong assurance of His relationship to us. Now, I could have said that in a different way. I could have said we must have a strong assurance of our relationship to Him. But I want to turn it around and say on purpose, we must have a strong assurance of His relationship to us, because that's where our Christian life hangs. Our whole Christian life is dependent upon God's commitment to us, not ours to Him. Our commitment grows only as we are assured of His commitment to us. A passage that speaks strongly about God's commitment is Romans 8, 28 through 39. Let's refresh ourselves by reading that. What is God's commitment to us? It is reviewed in Romans 8, 28 through 39. I want to read that. We must have a strong assurance of His relationship to us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, those He also called. And whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, those He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. There's something to believe. God's commitment to us is solid, secure, permanent, and that's what we need to know for 1987, for any year. The relationship of God to us does not depend upon chance or our good performance. Now, thinking about chance, I've just been overwhelmed by an article in last Sunday's paper. Bold print. Can y'all read that? Isn't that something? What are your chances of going to heaven? Now, inside are two full pages. And what has happened is that they've conducted a poll nationally of several hundred people and their ideas about their chances. Isn't that interesting that that would appear in the Sunday paper? Now, here's a fella. He's probably middle-aged. That's kind of young. Middle-aged is kind of young. If you want to get an orientation there. And he says, 50-50. The older I get, the more I think my chances will improve. Now, this fella is a deacon and a trustee in his church. And he thinks his chances are 50-50. Now, I think it's funny as all get out. But isn't it sad? And isn't it tragic that a man who is a church leader knows nothing more about the gospel than to talk about chance? We must know God's relationship to us is not a matter of chance. We need that strong assurance. Now, here's another fellow. He's a younger man. And he says, 85%. I don't think the entrance exam will be that tough. Isn't that an interesting concept? What about the final exam? Here's another lady, says, my chances are kind of slim, maybe 50-50. You have to be more than a nice person, but I'm still in the running. Interesting, isn't it? And throughout the article, they talk about people and their Bible reading and they're going to church and and what they think of their pastor and so on. And I won't read what they think of their pastor, but you get the idea. Chance. Hoping. It's very important that you and I have a strong assurance of His relationship to us, and that we're not living by chance and thinking of our chances of going to heaven or our chances that He is going to forsake us because we don't perform well. An interesting thing in this article, in all that's written here, there is not one mention of Christ. Not one. Nothing there. And it's a sad connotation that the people of our country living where the gospel should be proclaimed are not learning anything about the gospel. And you and I need the strong assurance that our acceptance before God is in the Beloved, and the Beloved is in His own Son. And being in Christ, we are as acceptable to God as is His own Son. Can I repeat that? If you are in Christ, you are as acceptable to God as is Jesus Christ Himself. That's the relationship. That's the commitment. Is God the Father committed to His Son? Of course. Is God the Father committed to every one of His elect in Jesus Christ? Of course. And you and I need this kind of assurance and this kind of security to live. Because we live in a world of depravity and difficulty and suffering. And Christians are not exempt, and we need security. In fact, our need for security may be one of the strongest needs in our life. Just recently, I met with a couple with some marriage difficulties, and I listened for a while, and I looked at the girl, and I said, if you could state the problem for me in one sentence, what would you say it is? And she said, I think it's his insecurities. His insecurities make him behave so poorly, it's ruining our marriage. Now, it can work both ways, of course. Our insecurities cause very, very bad attitudes and very, very bad behavior. We need security. And the only place it comes from is in a strong assurance of God's relationship to us, which is based on grace and grace alone. And therefore, we can trust Him. We can trust a God like we have, the God of the Bible. We can trust a God who's committed to us. So how are we going to live in this coming year? We must have an accurate belief about God and a strong assurance of His relationship to us. Thirdly, we must have a continuing communion with Him. Thirdly, we must have a continuing communion with Him. Now, one of the books that you'd want to read in regard to this would be the book of 1 John. We don't need to read it all, but let me just tell you about a little bit here in verse 3 when they talk about fellowship. That's which we have seen and heard. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a fellowship. There's a communion. There's a relationship that's personal that we need. And if we're going to be growing toward maturity, we need to take the means of grace that God gives us to grow. And we need to know Him person to person. We need the regular feeding of God's Word. And I would strongly suggest that you pick up one of the daily Bible readings there on the table and do your best this year to read through the Bible daily. Now, you'll miss some days, but you don't need to get on a guilt trip over that, Pick it up where you are and go on. And you don't need to make a vow that you're going to do it. You just say, this is a good thing to do. To read the Bible personally is a good thing to do. To attend worship regularly is a good thing to do. Now we're going to enter into a serious teaching course on the life of David. If you only come here once a month, you're not going to have any idea of what that series is about. It'll make no impact on your life. So if you think of continuing communion with God, those are some things to think about. Make it personal. And make it a determination this year to just to love the Lord and to enjoy the Lord and to delight in Him. Take some time personally just to enjoy God and to love Him and tell Him you love Him and enjoy Him. I find few people who spend much time enjoying the Lord or delighting in the Lord. He is the greatest person you could ever talk to or ever know. Spend some time with Him, enjoying Him, delighting in Him, in continuing communion. Don't let your testimony become history. To say that 10 years ago, God saved me, that's wonderful. But how is it this morning? Not that you were born again, but are you breathing now, brother or sister? That's the idea. Continuing communion with Him. And you know, as I have watched people through the years and observed life, there are some people that I've seen that never in any personal way did I hear them ever talk about the Lord. Attend church? Yes. Come to a Bible study? Once in a while. Come to church socials once in a while. Never, ever heard them speak the name of the Lord from their lips personally. Never, ever heard them say anything personally. And a number of those people are no longer with it. I wonder about that. Do you have a personal communion, relationship with the Lord? Do you talk to Him? Do you enjoy Him? Do you tell Him so? Do you have communion when you read the Bible? Let your heart be thrilled with the great truth in the Word of God. If we're going to have a good year in 87, we must have an accurate belief about God. We must have a strong assurance of His relationship to us. And we must have a continuing communion with Him. Now, fourthly, we must have an active involvement in His kingdom. In the fourth place, we must have an active involvement in His kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's just one brief passage about that. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now there is one thought about yourself and your involvement in the kingdom of God in your life this year and the next or whatever time we have. You and I as believers, saved believers, the elect of God are His ambassadors, personal ambassadors. An ambassador is usually a person who represents a king or a president in another country. And that is our privilege here. We in this country, in this land, represent our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, and He put me here and you here instead of Himself. He is no longer here physically, but I am, and you are, and I am His ambassador. And I have the privilege of representing Him. And you have the privilege, and it's a responsibility, of representing Him. Now life takes on a whole new meaning and flavor and glory when we know this and believe it. See, then we have a purpose that goes beyond this life and beyond this world, and a purpose that goes beyond just the daily routine. You say, why do I get up every morning and I go through a certain routine of preparing the body for the world and going to work or going to business, or I'm a homemaker and I'm going through all this and then I do it the next. Why do you do all that? What's this all about? Well, there's a purpose way beyond that. And the purpose is that you do everything as the representative, the ambassador of the King. It's a purpose beyond this life and this world, and we are joining in His purpose. We're going in His direction. We are on His mission. That's a wonderful thing, to be able to live life that way, to see that and to know that, and to have an active involvement in His kingdom. And you and I, as believers in the body of Christ, have been given spiritual gifts to perform that involvement. And we need to use those. And we need to consider serving our local church. The local church is what God produced in the book of Acts and what these letters are about. And the local church is important to God, should be important to us. And we should have an active involvement in our local church, and to make it specific, not just active involvement in His kingdom, but make that specific through the people around us. And otherwise, the Christian life, some people are very bored about being a Christian because they're not following these four things of having an accurate belief about God, a strong assurance of His relationship and commitment to us, a continuing active communion with Him, and an active involvement in His kingdom with His people. Now, I really believe with strong conviction that these things, these truths, will greatly help us live today, tomorrow, and whatever time God gives us on this earth to face life as it's going to come, and to grow in grace, and to become more mature in Christ, and to serve Him well.